These couple of verses all the way through have to deal with the love of God. And starting with verse 7, and loving one another, the love of God, and God is love. And but I want to key in on verse 9 today and talking about God's love and manifesting himself to us. 1 John 4:9, and as we continue to celebrate Christmas, let's celebrate Christmas, the uniqueness of the begotten Son. And I want to look at that today, the uniqueness of the begotten Son. Because listen, there's a lots of the gods that the world has out there, okay? The world has a ton of them. The world, you can idolize anything, and they got a bunch of gods that they idolize and things of that nature, but there's only one unique God, and it's the God that we serve, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the true God, and I want to share with you today some uniqueness that you as a child of God, as a Christian, can understand and appreciate. Go with me to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we just thank you, the Lord, for all that's went on today. Thank you for the songs that we sang, the Lord, celebrating Christmas, celebrating the birth of Christ. And God, that you are worthy. You are the Lamb of God. And God, how we sing hallelujah to that. And God, not only that, but it is our prayer, the Lord, that we are drawn close to you. God, it's our prayer that we pray that God draws close to you today. That God draws closer to you, the Lord, where the Spirit of God is. Well, my grandpa used to say, draw us closer to you under the spout where the glory comes out, Lord. Draw us close to you today. God, we love you. God, we appreciate you. God, we welcome you into this place. God, thank you for filling your power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God here. God, thank you for the love, the peace, the harmony that is exhibited amongst your brothers and sisters in Christ here. God, we thank you for that. God, we pray that you bind Satan up and his demons and cast them out. God, they're not welcome here or wanted here, and they're not, Father. Welcome in this place or around this property. We bind them up in the name of Jesus. And as Adam already said, was bound up in earth is bound up in heaven. And Lord, we bind him up and cast him out of here in the name of Jesus. And let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in our lives today. God, open up our ears, open up our eyes. God, open up our minds and our hearts. God, that we can hear your word, that we have received your word, that God, we will be changed individuals. We won't be the same as what we walked in here as, that we'll be revived, refreshed, and renewed, the Lord, because of the Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God that stirs up in our spirit, that stirs up in our hearts, the Lord. May we be on fire for you, Jesus. And God, fill this place. God, bless the reading of your word. God, it is your word. Your word is special. And God, we pray a special anointing over the reading of your word this morning, that God, as we open up your Bible, as we open up your word, that God, it will go forth today, that it will accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to you, that God, it'll cut where it needs to cut, it'll pierce where it needs to pierce, it'll change where we need changing, and God, it'll convict us where we need convicting, that God, we will get right with you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing. We praise you for what you're doing. Keep the devil at bay. And God, we welcome you in this place. God, bless the anointing and the reading of your word. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. 1 John chapter 4. As I said, let's celebrate Christmas this series of December. Celebrating Christmas. Let's celebrate him. And as I said, I pray and hope that December is not the only time that we celebrate the birth of Christ. That is not the only time that we have a spirit in our life of celebration and celebrating the Lord. I hope it is a spirit in our hearts and in our life that we celebrate the Lord year-round, every day of our lives, celebrating him for giving us life. Celebrating him for giving us eternal salvation. That is just not something that we do for Christmas time. That is just not something that we do for December. But it is truly a life-changing experience. It's something truly that we do every day of our life, is celebrate the Lord, celebrate him, celebrating his birth. And I want us to look at, as I said, in 1 John 4:9, I want us to talk about the uniqueness of the only begotten Son, the uniqueness of him. In 1 John 4:9, it says this, it says, "And this was manifest, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into this world that we might live through him." The only begotten Son, listen, that term, only begotten, only begotten, when you see that, that means singular. only begotten means singular. There, it means one of its kind. There means there's only one of them, the only begotten. It's singular. It's one of a kind. And it suggests the uniqueness of that. Thank the Lord that He gave His only begotten Son. You go back to John 3:16, as it said, for God so loved the world that He gave what? His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. When you see only begotten, it means singular. It means uniqueness. It means there's no other like that. And I'm here to tell you, the world has many gods. This world has things that they offer for gods, that they idolize for gods. But I'm telling you, the God that I serve, the Jesus that I serve, the Jesus I present to you is the only begotten Son of God. He's the only one. He's singular. He's unique, my friend. There is no other like Him. And you're going to see this in the Word today. He's the only begotten. That means there's only one of a kind. And it's only in Jesus that He's that. He's one of a kind. Amen. Aren't you glad He's one of a kind? Aren't you glad He's the only begotten Son? There is no other like Him. My friend, when you trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to worry about nothing anymore. That He is the Son of God, my friend, and trusting in Him, He's the one that offers you and me eternal life. In Him is that uniqueness found. You can't find that uniqueness in any other God. There is no other God out there that can give you eternal life. Only through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, do you have eternal life, my friends. Oh, He's unique. Here are some things about the Lord that you can agree with about His uniqueness. Oh, He was born of a woman, not of a woman and a man. The birth of the Lord Jesus was not a result of a physical union between a man and a woman. He was unique in that. Joseph was merely His stepfather, my friends. He was the stepfather of Jesus Christ. Christ was born of a virgin birth, my friends. And there is no other God like that. The uniqueness of that. God was born of a virgin. It was by the Holy Spirit that Mary conceived. There is no other God like that, my friends, that we serve and that we have. Oh, listen, Christ was born of a virgin birth without an earthly human man. The Bible is very clear that Christ was born of a virgin in Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a what? A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and He shall call His name Emmanuel. My friend, the uniqueness of God. There is no other person that's ever been born or created in this world with that kind of uniqueness, my friends. The uniqueness of God. Christ was born of a virgin birth, my friend. It was the Holy Spirit that come over Mary and planted Jesus into her womb, my friend, and conceived, my friend. It had nothing to do with an earthly father. It had all to do with a heavenly father. And it was Jesus Christ, my friend, God, our Father and our Savior. There is no other like Him. The uniqueness of the only begotten Son, my friend, was born of a virgin. Oh, listen, it says, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Born of a virgin, shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call His name Emmanuel. Oh, listen to me. Uniqueness. Oh, there's many idols out there. There's many things that the world calls their God. But my friend, none of them can say that they were ever birthed of a virgin. None of them can say that they were ever birthed by the Holy Spirit. None of them can say that they were conceived without an earthly father. Amen. It was only the begotten Son that was received, and my friend, born of Him, the uniqueness of Christ. No other person that idolizes anything or no other God they worship across this world, my friend, can say that. Only you and I, as children of God and as Christian men and women, can claim the uniqueness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the only begotten, my friend. Only we can claim that of what God has done for us. Oh, listen to me. He was born of a woman, my friend. He was born of a virgin birth, and the Holy Spirit was conceived through him. Not only that, but he was a man, but yet he was God. He was a man, but yet he was God. My friend, he was God born in the flesh and dwell among us. My friend, he was without sin in this world. He was fully man, but he was fully God. And we'll see that. Oh, listen, we'll see that. And as he said, he was a man. When the Spirit becomes flesh, that ought to make a Baptist shout right there, amen. Amen. When the say, amen, you say it again. When the Spirit becomes flesh, the Word becomes flesh, and not only that, but it dwelt among us. It dwelt among us. Number two, as I said, he was a man. And yet he was God. In 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. What a blessing to know that God came down in human form and dwelt among us, my friend, as the Son, the Lord Jesus. He goes to say, and without controversy, I'm here to tell you, my friends, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. The Word of God doesn't contradict itself. My friend, God is God, Jesus is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and all three are one. Oh, listen to me. It doesn't controversy itself. And I'm so glad that this verse is in the Bible. So Satan, when people say, oh, the Word of God controversy, it contradicts itself. Well, no, the Word of God don't, and it's plain as day that it don't. In 1 Timothy 3:16 it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of the angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed in this world, and received up into glory. That's shouting grounds, my friend. That's what my Jesus did. That's the only begotten. There is no other God like that, my friend. The only begotten Son of God. He was man. And yet he was God. God was manifest. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. There is no other God, then, my friends, in the universe that is manifest himself in the flesh like the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. It's not out there. He was manifest in the flesh. He is justified in his spirit, my friends. He is justified. He is seen of angels. He is preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. My friend, my Jesus, when they were crucified him, my friend, they thought it was over with. They crucified him. They did all the things to him. They whooped him. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. They plucked out his beard. They spit on his face, my friends. They put nails through his hands and the feet. They pierced his side. They gave him gall to drink and hyssop, my friend. Listen to me. They planted a crown of thorns and shoved it down on his head. There's no other king that's ever experienced that. There's no God that's experienced that. He experienced all that for you and me. All that pain and suffering he did for us. And then they laid him in a borrowed tomb, my friend. And the devil thought the victory was won. He thought it was over with. Oh, did he have a rude awakening? I would have liked to see Satan's face when Jesus appeared in hell and said, give me them keys, old boy, to death, hell, and the grave. Was he ever had a realization check up? Amen. Give them here. And Jesus on that third day rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. There is no other God out there that can say that. You and I, as children of God, as Christian men and women, that's made Jesus our personal Lord and Savior, we can say that's the uniqueness about the God we serve. That's the uniqueness about the Lord that we serve. Oh, listen. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed in the world, received up the glory. No one but Christ has ever been man and God at the same time. Nobody, nobody but Christ. Oh, Christ was fully human without a sinful nature, as well as he was God Almighty. He was God Almighty. If you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father. When I think of these things, of what the Lord, it recalls me. And you can click on it if you can get it that fast, Marky. The Lord just gave it to me. It recalls me of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When it talked about he was justified. He was seen of the angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles. Believed in the world and received up into glory. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 1 through 8 it says this. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. My friend, listen to me. This is the gospel. It's not some phony Jesus we're talking about. It's not some other king out there that we're talking about. We're talking about a virgin birth of God, the Son of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I present to you the gospel. It is the Word of God. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which you also are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. It says, for I delivered unto you first of all, which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scripture. This is the King that I'm talking about. This is the Jesus I'm talking about. This is the one that we celebrate Christmas about. It's the birth of Christ. It said, and that we were buried, and that he arose the third day according to the Scripture. And then it goes on to say, and that he was seen of Cephas, which is Peter, thereof of the 12. And after that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen of James, and then of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, which is Paul also, as one born out of due time. My friend, I offer you Jesus. I offer you a man, yet a man, but God. God himself was manifest in the flesh, as 1 Timothy 3:16 was without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of the angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and bleed on in the world, and received up into glory. There is no other God that's like that. Only the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus is the one, my friend. He's the one that we celebrate Christmas about. He's the one, my friend, that makes the difference. He's the one that gave us life. He gave us the gift of eternal life when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. He's the one, my friend, that we're talking about. Not only that, but number three, he was rich, yet he chose to be poor. He was rich the same when he was born. He was rich, but chose to be poor. In 2 Corinthians 8, 9. In 2 Corinthians 8, 9, it says this. It says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, yet for our sakes, he became poor, that yea, through his poverty, we might be rich. My friend, he had it all. As a king, my friend, he had all. He had all the Father had to offer. But he gave it up for you and me. He gave it all up for us, my friends. Gave it up for you and me. He became poor that so we could become rich. Because his desire to make us rich, my friends, Jesus became poor. He at times did not even have a place to lay his head, my friend. Not even a place to lay down, when all the time he was the creator of all things. But because Jesus, my friend, became poor, we can become spiritually rich. Oh, listen to me. No king that's ever been king of this world has ever gave up their riches for anybody. Only the uniqueness of the Son of God gave up all of heaven had to offer for you and me. No other king in this world. It's about greed. It's about more. It's about money. It's about gold. It's about riches. And I'm going to step on top of you to get all that. That's what the world sees today. God had it all, and he gave it all up so you and I can be rich. My friend, he gave it all up. No other king has ever gave up their treasures my friend, for you and me. And that's the uniqueness in the only begotten Son. That's the uniqueness in the Lord and Savior that I serve, my friend, that's willing to give it all up for you and me. Give it all up for us. The uniqueness of the only begotten Son. Oh, not only was he born of a woman and not of a man, not only was he a man and yet God, not only was he rich and became poor for you and me, but also, number four, he was rejected, but he desires to accept all. He was rejected, but he desires to accept all. Oh, listen to me, in John 1, at 11 and 12, declares this, he says, he came into his own, and his own received him not. He goes on to say, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Oh, my friends, I'm here to tell you, that's not how the world operates today. Oh, listen to me. They rejected him. They despised him. They mistreated him. They crucified him. But yet, he loved us enough to give his life for you and me. Loved us enough to give his life for us. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, listen to me. It's our human nature that when others do not receive us, we don't want to receive them. But that's not what Christ did. Christ loves for those who reject him to come unto him and receive abundant supply. My friend, those that mistreated him, those that despised him, those that wanted nothing to do with him are the ones he dies for. Where do we find ourselves in that line up? Where do we find ourselves when somebody mistreats us? What do we want to do? Jack them up. Amen. Mistreat us, I'm going to get even with you. I'm going to square off with you. I'm old-fashioned. We can go behind the woodshed and may the best man win. Whoever walks out, right? Amen. You with me? They come against you, beat you down, and put you down, man. The first thing we want to do is throw them up. Get ready. But what did Jesus do? Throw them down. Stretched out his arms and put out his feet. And says, I love you that much. And died on the cross. When all the time we were sitting there, being the hellions that we once were, being the heathens that we once were, wanted nothing to do with Jesus, and he died for us. Romans 5:8, but God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Those that rejected him, those that despised him, those that mistreated him, yet he died for them. Amazing. And I can tell you right now, there's no other king that would have done that. There's no other king, no other leader, no other person in this world that when they come against are going to say, I'm going to give my life for you. It doesn't happen. Only the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Only the only begotten Son. The uniqueness of the Lord and Savior that I serve, my friend, even when I was unlovely, he loved me. The old song says, he knew me, yet he loved me. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Amen. But not only me, but everybody in this world. The uniqueness of the only begotten. Oh, listen, he was rejected, but he desires to accept others. Not only that, but lastly, number five, he was crucified by man, but longs to save all. Crucified by man, but longs to save all. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering towards us. To usward. Long-suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Amen. Long-suffering. Thank you, Jesus, for putting up with us. Thank you, Jesus, for your long-suffering. Thank you, Jesus, for putting up with us long enough for that Holy Spirit to convict us to come to a saving knowledge of you. My friends, I wonder how long Jesus is going to be long-suffering with the world that's turned its back on him. With a world that's turned its back on him. With America, especially, that has kicked the Bible out of school, the Word of God out of school, prayer out of school. Isaiah is very clear in Daniel about the shedding of innocent blood. And what is abortion called? shedding of innocent blood. And how many millions and millions and millions of babies have been aborted in America? Shedding of innocent blood. And how long is Jesus going to be long-suffering and not look at it? My friend, I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming, and it's already started. Look up, my friend, for you and me. We should be seeing joy in our life because we know what's coming. It's the Lord and Savior Jesus on the way back. Oh, look up, my friend, for us. 2 Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It was the desire of Christ to save those that helped crucify Him. It was the desire of Christ to save those who helped crucify Him. My friend, you know what crucified Him? My sin and your sin. What nailed Him to the cross. My friend, and yet He loved us enough to save us. Loved us enough to save us. Became king, my friend. Gave up all His kingship, everything that He had, so that we could be saved. Oh, listen, Christ is certainly unique in every way. The Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only begotten that I preach about and I talk about is the only unique God that's ever done that for anybody. Only unique God that's ever done that for anybody. He is God's special one, ready to save all that come to Him. And this was manifest, the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into this world that we might live through Him. The only begotten Son. The only begotten. Singular. One of a kind. Suggested uniqueness. There is no other God that's done that. For you and me. Ah. Oh, was born of a virgin. With no humanly aid from an earthly person. Only the Holy Spirit of God laid that in the Virgin Mary's womb to conceive the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only begotten. Oh, He was man, yet He was God. God was manifest in the flesh. He was man, but He was God. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. Amen. The only begotten, the uniqueness of Him. He was rich and became poor so you and I can be rich. Yes. No other king that I know of is ever going to do that or has done that. He was rejected, but He desires that all is accepted. He would that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes. The only begotten, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God. He was crucified, but He longs that all should be saved. Right. 2 Peter 3:9, He would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. Amen. Let's celebrate Christmas. Celebrate Christmas, you have to celebrate the only begotten Son. The only begotten Son, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lamb of God. The world will offer several gods, but there's only one true God, and His name is Jesus. Yes. Only one true God, and His name is Jesus. That's the one that we celebrate at Christmas. That's the one that we celebrate with our family with. That's the one that we celebrate and give gifts with. We talk to our boys and talk to our family, and we have a birthday cake for Jesus at Christmas, and we celebrate the birth of Christ and say the reason we give is because God gave to us. Amen. He gave to us the greatest gift you could ever receive in receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What about it today? Have you received the greatest gift you can ever receive? I'll offer it to you this morning. It's Jesus, God's only begotten Son. The greatest gift you could ever receive is making Jesus Lord of your life. What about it today?